Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 43, Isaiah chapter 43. And while you're turning to that place, could I thank your minister very sincerely for the opportunity to come along this evening and to share in our worship together unto the Lord, and to lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving for all that he has done for us. Isaiah 43, there are many portions that I could turn to this evening that hold special comfort to me and to my wife Audrey. But the Lord has laid Isaiah 43 upon my heart for this evening. And we're only going to read the first 2.5 verses, and really it will sum up my testimony and the goodness and the mercy of the Lord to me. Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. Amen. And we trust that God will bless the reading of his own word for Christ's sake. Could we just pause for a moment and ask the Lord his help as we speak for him this evening. Father in heaven, we come before thee again, and we ask, Lord, that thou would come into the midst, that thou would settle each one of our hearts this evening, and that we would know the blessed Holy Spirit ministering to our hearts, that I might know the blessing of the Lord to speak well of Christ, and that the hearer might hear words that will bless and thrill their soul of Christ. So we look to thee for help and pray for thy blessing to be upon us even now for Christ's sake. Amen. I want to start this evening by giving thanks for mercy. Thanks for the mercy that God allowed me to be born into a family that had an interest in the things of God. Being born into a land where the gospel at every street corner was preached and proclaimed in all its fullness. But the greatest of all mercies that God has showed to me is God's electing and saving mercy. Chosen in Christ, here I stand. Not for any good in me, but for the mercy and the goodness of God. I, like everyone else that ever walked this scene of time, was born a sinner. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But early in my teenage years, I came to know Christ as my own and personal Saviour. I just took Christ at his word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in simple childlike faith, I laid my trust in Christ. You know, friends, this evening, with the words of the hymn writer, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his glorious righteousness. That's all my hope. That's all my trust. I hope it's your hope. I hope there's nothing else that you have your trust in, even a teeny weeny bit. Christ will not share that. It's all Christ, and it's Christ alone. You know, some would have us to believe today that when we come to Christ, that all our problems and difficulties take wings and they fly away. It's readily taught that if we come to Christ, that we'll have no more worries and sickness or money problems or anything else. But what does Christ say? What does Christ tell his followers? He tells his followers that in this world ye shall have tribulations. That word tribulations means pressure. So we're all going to have pressure in this world. And it comes by three main streams. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, the devil gets blamed for a whole lot. It's just our own old selfish flesh. We must remember that it's a battle with our flesh to walk with the Lord. Not only with the world and the devil, but with our flesh. I started going to Carnegie Free Presbyterian Church, and it was there I met my now wife Audrey. and God blessed us with three healthy children. But you know, in my early days as a young believer, as a part-time soldier in the UDR, most of my weekends were spent patrolling the streets. And just like a little babe when it's born, it needs the proper diet. And if that baby doesn't get the proper diet, it's not going to grow. And with a young Christian, with any Christian, we need a good, stable diet. The diet is found in God's Word. And we need to be under the Word. We need to be in the Word. We need to be before the Lord in prayer. But sad to say, that wasn't part of my life. I went to church when I could, fitted round patrolling the streets of Northern Ireland. You know, Proverbs 13, and this verse came to me just yesterday evening. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. A company is very important. Who we keep company with. If we keep company with good, godly men and women, we'll become more Christ-like in that company. But if we keep the company of fools and ungodly men and women, we'll become like the world. And Peter reminds us that we are to add to faith. You see, getting saved is only the beginning. It's only the starting point. We're to add to faith, we're to add virtue and knowledge and temperance and so on and so forth. In my time in the UDR, I had many close shaves with death. I can't tell you them all this evening, but one or two to show you God's mercy and how God has his hand upon his children. One evening as we were patrolling just outside Lurgan town, there was a police car in front of us. I was the driver in the second Land Rover. And as we just turned off the slipway down to what was known as Kinnego Dump, there was a flash and a thud and debris everywhere. And you just take over, sort of, just happens. You go into that mode of ambush. And you slip the Land Rover out of gear, the handbrake on, you slide to stop, and you lift your rifle from behind you at the same time, and you're on the floor. I was the driver. I was the first man on the ground. You know, when all settled, two men had lost their lives, taken out into God's eternity. Just like that. No time to make any preparation for eternity. It was over and done in a flash. If I had been but split seconds, I would have been me. That wasn't luck, men and women. The Christian doesn't have luck in the vocabulary. That's the mercy of God. That's the hand of God. And you know, so often, coming along the road, we're slowed down in traffic and we're trying to get somewhere and we get all agitated. We're not going to get there. And God in his infinite mercy has slowed us all down because something may happen up the road. We don't know. We need to learn to calm ourselves down and know that God is in control of all our affairs. In 1983, some of you might recall the Mays jail breakout. Any Sunday that I was off duty or managed to get off by lunchtime, I would have up to my parents' house and my dad and I would have went for a walk after Sunday lunch. But this particular Sunday, as I said, we had three children. Wayne was our second child and he wouldn't settle. And so we popped him in the car like a lot of young parents now, and the child sleeps better in the car than they do in the house. So we took a drive round the long road. By the time I got to my parents' house, dad had gone for his walk. So I didn't get a walk. But Dad didn't appear home for tea, which was out of character and unusual. And as we would come round the long road back down to the house, we met a lorry. And the lorry nearly took me off the road. And I said to Audrey, if you and the children weren't in the car with me, I'd go after that guy. Because that's no way to drive. But God didn't want me to go after that guy. Strapped to the floor of that lorry was a heavy caliber machine gun. And my dad was in the back of it. He was kidnapped on that Sunday afternoon. And as they asked him his name, he thought of giving a false name, and then he gave his right name, and they radioed across on the radio, and over the airway, my dad heard them come back saying, "No, you've got the wrong one." It wasn't my dad they were after that day. It was me. And God, in his mercy, unsettled the child to keep me from being there. Child of God, do you see the hand of God? Do you see the hand of God in your life, in your everyday living? Do you see him ordering your affairs and directing every situation for your good and for his glory. Well, there were many other trials in that part, but we'll park that there. You know, trials come in many different shapes and forms. And as I said, we had three children. We have three children, two girls, because it's absolutely no problem at all. But for our boy, well, to put it mildly, really broke our heart. Wayne loved the pleasures of this world. He loved his sin. He loved his smoking, his drinking, his drugs. And you know, Audrey and I many times went to the throne of grace and didn't even know what to ask the Lord anymore. We have come before the Lord so many times. And we had claimed the promise that he gave us that we would have household salvation. And it seemed the more we prayed, the harder we had become. Many nights he would phone in the middle of the night and he would ask us where you find such and such a verse in the Bible. I would say, what do you need that for, son? I'm just telling these boys here their need of Christ and him not saved. He knew. He was brought up the same as the girls. He was catechized. He was memory verses. He was taught the scriptures. He was prayed with. He was sent to Sunday school. He was sent to church. He was brought up the same as the girls. But you know, it just was a direction that he was set on going. And we could do nothing but plead for God's mercy. Many nights he would phone and ask to get a lift home. And we would make our way to the town that he said that he was in. But we might have had to go around several times and into many different dens of iniquity to try and find him, only to come back to Tendergee and find him there. You know, many people, even some of God's people, told us, throw him out. Forget about him. Have nothing more to do with him. New Audrey and I sat together and we thought on the long suffering of God and the patience God showed towards us in our rebellious years. And how he was merciful and didn't give us up. And I thought, Audrey, can we not do this for our son? And we prayed more earnestly. And every opportunity we got, we spoke a word to him. Sometimes that word was a two-way conversation, and it continued for a while. Other times it was met with a wall of silence. He didn't want to hear. Parents, you need to know when to speak and when to be silent when you're dealing with your children. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to be silent. It's hard to get that balance when we're so anxious for their soul and for their spiritual well-being. You know, to waken up at 5 o'clock in the morning with the house surrounded with police is nothing you want to see. But that was the company Wayne had got into. One evening, as he came home from his work program, we were sitting at the table having our dinner. Our eldest grandson was there. He was about 3 or 4 at the time. And someone had passed away, and I said at the table, it's good that they died in Christ, that they're going to be with the Lord, which is far better. And Matthew, the grandson, turned to me and said, Papa, when you die, are you going to heaven? And I said, yes, son, I'm going to heaven because I have trusted in the finished work of Christ. Christ died on the cross for whosoever would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved and say, I'm going to heaven. Nanny, are you going to heaven? Yes, says Nanny. I'm trusting in the Saviour. And then he turned to Wayne. And he said, Wayne, are you going to heaven? Now, anybody that knows Wayne, Wayne doesn't eat desserts. Wayne eats 3 full dinners. He hadn't halfway through his dinner, and he pushed it away. Got up from the table, and he never spoke. Went to his bedroom, and he never came down the rest of that night. The next day, he got up, and he went to his work. And at lunchtime, we got a phone call, and it was Wayne. He said, Dad, do you want to hear some good news? I said, yes, son, I'd love some good news. He says, I put my trust in Christ. I says, how did that come about? He says, well, I was at the top of a 3-story building on the end of a ladder and I looked down and I thought, if I fall, I'll fall into hell. Is that you this evening? If you were to die now, would you fall into hell? Or have you Christ as your Saviour? I thank the Lord that he saved Wayne. He's married with a lovely saved wife and he has 2 children. and going on well with the Lord. And we rejoice that our children all are saved. Judith, the youngest daughter's not long back from a missionary trip there with her church that she went out there in the end, middle of October. And so we thank the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy. So parent, be patient with your children. Show love. Show the love of Christ. It has to be the love of Christ flowing through us. It's not all about words. They need to see Christ in us and speak as God gives you opportunity to your children. That's our mission field. We mightn't be called into the ministry. We mightn't be called to the mission field. But God, if God has given us a family, he's given us a mission field to win our children for Christ. In 2007 was a pretty busy year. I've jumped forward some years. In that year, my mother had had a stroke. She had made quite a recovery, but living in a two-story house, I had to be there first thing in the morning to get her down the stairs, and had to be there last thing at night to get her up the stairs. And I sat always at her bedside, read the scriptures and prayed with her and talked about the things of the Lord until Mum fell asleep or till she dismissed me and told me you were free to go home. And it was a joy and a privilege, you know, to seek to comfort her with the Lord's word. At the end of that year, in December, Audrey and I had come home from the midweek prayer meeting. Something in me had been building. I was feeling pretty weak and weary and tired. And I was taken into Craigavon Hospital under some protest, I might add. Audrey had got her way. I was for staying at home till the morning, but Audrey rang the hospital and the hospital said no, to bring me over immediately. When I got to Craigavon Hospital, there was no beds, and I said to the nurse, "Well, shall I go home and come back in the morning?" And the nurse said, "No, we'll find a bed for you." And then it started to work in my mind. They know something that I don't know. It was then on the 17th of December that I was diagnosed with renal cell carcinoma, a cancer growth almost 4 inches in diameter on my only kidney. I was only born with one kidney. And so this was a bit of a surprise along the way. You know, it's always God's word that comforts. Psalm 39 verse 9 came to my attention even as the consultant spoke with me, and I was dumb. I didn't speak. Audrey done the speaking. I opened not my mouth. Why? Because thou didst it. This was God's doing. This was the hand of a loving heavenly Father. Thou, in faithfulness, David said, hath afflicted me. And that's how I seen it. It was the Lord's doing. You know, the Lord always prepares us for trials. Sometimes we don't realize that. You know, the very scriptures that the Lord had laid upon my heart to comfort my mum in her trials and difficulties were now the same scriptures that were coming again to comfort my own heart. That's why we need to hide God's word in our heart, you know. It's not only that we do not sin against the Lord, that's of utmost importance. It's the word that keeps us from sin. But that it might well up within us to comfort us, to strengthen us, and to encourage us along the way. The psalmist David said in Psalm 119 and verse 92, if God's word had not been his delight, and I'm only paraphrasing it, if God's word had not been his delight, he would have perished in his affliction. And that's true of us all. Because it's only God's word that strengthens. People may draw near and they may have many fine words to say, but if it's not God's word, there's nothing comforts like a word from the Lord. In January 2008, we were taken for surgery. When we were going in for surgery, we weren't sure whether the whole kidney was going away, or whether the kidney and the spleen was going away, or really it was in the dark until they opened up and had a look in, as the consultant said. And the normal procedure would be that if they have a bleed out in the kidney, it is tie it off and take it away. That would mean that I would have been on dialysis 3 days a week for the rest of my life. But I went into surgery with great peace. A peace that I can't really explain. Because it's a peace that God gives. I remember some time reading a book called Grace When Grace Is Needed. And God gives grace at the time of need. And he gave me that peace. You know, the consultant stood at the bedside with his glasses down, just like my own now, with his arms folded. And he said to me after the surgery, he says, James, that's the first name on my birth certificate, so I'm James in the hospital. James, he says, you're a very sick man. These men in around you aren't as sick as you, but they're going to be dead before you. And I looked at him and I said, how can you say that? I said, you don't know that. He says, you've got a strange peace about you that these people don't have. And I got telling them about Christ. Christ is the peacemaker. When you have your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you peace. See, the Lord brings you into circumstances where you can witness for him and where you can serve him. In recovery, I was there. I had lost, I don't know how much blood, because I had a massive bleed out. And you know, the hand of God was even there. As I said, the normal procedure would have been tied off and taken away. And the Lord gave those surgeons persevering grace to replumb my half kidney. And in a half an hour of a 6-hour operation, that kidney was showing signs of working. That's God's doing. That's God's doing. And it's marvellous in our eyes. Even there in subconsciousness, the Lord brought the 3 Hebrew children before my mind. You know, the way they were cast into the fiery furnace, and the king said, did we not put 3 in? And the people said, oh yes, it was 3. He says, how come I see 4? And one is like unto the Son of Man. And they're walking about loose. And I believe the Lord was just drawing near and saying, you're in a great trial, but I'm with you. That's what the Lord does. He doesn't stand afar off in our trials. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He enters into them. You know, the road has been up and down. I'm not saying that there are not times when the dark clouds gather. I'm not saying that I'm one of these super people that just go through life without any concerns. Yes, there's times the dark clouds gather. But when we get back to Christ, all seems bright. Because you know, at the end of the day, for the child of God, death's not the end. It's only a doorway. You know, I can say it as well with my soul. Can you? If you were to close your eyes tonight in this meeting in death, where would you be? Where would you be? You must answer the question before God. But our trials will end, you know. Paul says that our trials are only like afflictions. And they're only for a season. They're not forever. They're not going to last forever. They're only for a short season. And yes, the devil wants you and me to think that all these things are against us. Not the lie he keeps telling us. Look at this. And you're trusting in Christ and look what's happening to you. All these things are against you. But the Word of God tells me that they're working for us. They're not working against us at all. God's shaping us and moulding us and making us into that which he wants us to be and where he wants us to be. I've spoken to consultants and doctors and nurses and people that I never ever would have come in contact with. Patients, other patients, sitting in the waiting room. Other patients in the same ward. Never would have met them again and never met some of them since. But still got telling them of Christ. The Lord brings you into the pathway that he wants you on. And where he wants you to be. We've got to use the circumstances that we find ourselves in to serve God and not complain about them. You know, if we're struck down with physical ailments, then we're meeting people that normally we wouldn't meet. Speak a word for Christ. A word fitly spoken. It doesn't say a sermon. Just a word. Speak just a word for Jesus. It's all he wants us to do. To boast of Christ. You know, maybe you're unsaved in this meeting. And the words that we read in Isaiah 43 are not really for you. Because you surely should fear. You should tremble tonight. You should be in fear of your very next breath. But you're not redeemed. You're not the Lord's. And he's not your Savior. He's not your Savior. If you have not acknowledged yourself as a sinner before God, as the first step, man or woman, you must see yourself as unclean and undone before a holy and a just God. And if you don't, you'll never be saved. You'll never be saved. If you hold on to your self-righteousness as your ticket to heaven, you'll be lost for all eternity. For why would a holy father send his holy child to the cross if your self-righteousness would save you? Go this evening, seek the Saviour while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. And don't leave this meeting tonight without Christ. Maybe you're a backslider, and once you walk well with the Lord, and trials have come and you've blamed the Lord and you've got cold, the Lord always chastens in love, my friend. And if you're truly a child of his, you're not in a happy place tonight. And I'll tell you this, the Lord will chasten you till you come back again, until you return. Oh, return unto the Lord this evening. May the Lord bless these few words to you tonight, for Christ's sake.